Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Matthew 21, verse 7 says, "They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him," that's Jesus, "on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.'" Now, Jesus really was the one that prepared for this parade. In other words, this didn't catch him by surprise. Jesus didn't just show up in Jerusalem one day and the people came rushing out to greet him. Of course, he'd been to Jerusalem before, but see, Jesus had set the stage for this parade that they were having for him. He's the one that told his disciples to go get the donkey and the colt and to prepare that for his entry into Jerusalem. And this was a triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem. He was coming in now as their King of Kings and their Lord of Lords. And if you look over in John chapter 12, John 12 verse 12, it says, "The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel.'" So there's this huge celebration going on. And when it says, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel," another translation says, "Praise God, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel." Now, this whole event is taking place the week of Jesus' crucifixion. So this is a heavy week. Jesus knows that he is going to die. In fact, that's a part of his entry into Jerusalem. He had said previously to his disciples concerning their coming to Jerusalem, he said over in John chapter 12, verse 7, this is after Mary Magdalene had poured fragrant anointing oil on him, and the disciples got upset about it because they felt like it was a waste of money. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial." So Jesus is talking here about his burial, his death. And in Luke chapter 13, in fact, let's just go there, Luke the 13th chapter. And in verse 31, it says, "On that very day, some Pharisees came saying to him, 'Get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you. Get out of Jerusalem. Get out of this place.'" Verse 32, "And he said to them, 'Go tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow. And the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must journey today, tomorrow, and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem.'" So notice, Jesus knows that he's going to Jerusalem to perish. He knows he's going to perish. He knows he's going to die. And yet, instead of showing up fearful, with his head hung, and all worried about what's going to happen, anxious about it, he says, "Go get me a donkey and a colt, and put your garments on it, and let's have ourselves a victory parade. Let's have a victory parade." Think about that. We're going to have ourselves a victory parade. He's coming to Jerusalem. He knows perfectly well he's going to suffer. He's going to be tortured. And he's going to die. And yet, he is celebrating. He is celebrating his resurrection. Which isn't until the start of the next week. Because back then, you know, the Jewish calendar, the Sabbath, is the seventh day of the week, the last day of the week, and that was on Saturday. So Sunday was actually like our Monday. It was the first day of the week. So Sunday was the first day of the week. Jesus rose from the dead on a Sunday. And here he is the Sunday prior. And this week is not resurrection week. This week is crucifixion week. And yet, in headed towards crucifixion, he is celebrating resurrection. See, he's seeing past the cross. He's seeing past the pain and the suffering to the victory. Because that's exactly how faith operates. Faith looks beyond the circumstances of life. It looks beyond where you may be right now. It looks beyond the trials and tests and even the negative things that may be ahead, and sees beyond all that to the victory. The guaranteed victory. Faith in God is a guaranteed victory. Over in 1 John it says, this is the victory over the world, even our faith. When you have faith in God, you are overcoming the world. You're overcoming anything that the world might throw at you. Anything the god of this world, who is the devil, may throw at you. You're overcoming. And faith knows it. Faith knows it. Faith knows, yes, in this world we will have tribulation. But it sees beyond that. Faith doesn't focus on the tribulation. Faith isn't afraid to talk about the tribulation. Faith isn't afraid to talk about the crises of life. Faith isn't in denial that there are problems. We need to understand that. Jesus was telling his disciples, there's some problems. There's some bad things that are going to happen. There are some terrible things that I'm going to have to deal with, that I'm going to have to face in a few days. He knew that. He talked about it. He wasn't afraid to talk about it. Faith isn't afraid to face the facts, no matter how negative they may appear. A lot of folks, they think if they're in faith, they shouldn't acknowledge the facts. They shouldn't acknowledge negative things. They just got to speak positive things, positive things, positive things. Well, Jesus was talking about, I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to perish. I'm going to be crucified. He talked about all these things. But yet, that wasn't his focus. That's not where he stayed. He looked beyond the cross. And he saw the resurrection. He saw the victory that was up ahead. So wherever we are in life, if we're living by faith, see, this principle applies to us. If you're living by faith, yeah, you're aware of the negative things in your life. Does anybody have any negative things in your life? Yeah. People face things all the time. You know, we're in an earth that's got problems. We're around people that don't know the Lord. We got all kinds of troubles and trials that we face in life. And yet, faith can still smile in the face of it all. Because it sees beyond it. It sees that all these things are turning for my good and for the glory of God. That's how faith thinks. That's how faith talks. Now, that isn't automatic. Not everything, I got news for you, not everything bad that happens to people turns around for their good and for God's glory. Sometimes it turns around to their demise and eternal destruction, right? There's people that perish and go to hell. That didn't turn out for their good. They got killed and went to hell. That didn't turn out for their good. That didn't give any glory to God. So there's a lot of bad things that happen, and it's bad, 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 and ends bad. and there's nothing good in it. Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Do people perish? People perish all the time, and it's not the will of God, because he says he's not willing. He's not willing that anybody should perish. So that's not his will, yet it happens all the time. And he's not glorified in it. He's only glorified if we go through the problems of life in faith, trusting in his word, knowing that we always triumph, we always win, and through him we will come out on top. We will come out on top. Faith says, I'll come out on top. No matter how hard I get hit, no matter how much I get pushed back, I'll always end up in the front on top. Why? Because if God is for me, who? What can be against me? Nothing, 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 nothing. And again, faith isn't afraid to talk about being pushed back, knocked down. Paul the Apostle talked about it over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We see right here how the spirit of faith thinks, how the spirit of faith talks. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. He says, but we are hard pressed on every side. That don't sound like fun. And he's talking about we're hard pressed. It's hard. It's hard. We're pressed on every side. Yet, not crushed. See, he didn't leave it there. He didn't just say, we're hard-pressed on every side. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how much more I can take of it. Tell you the truth, I don't know how much more I can take of this. I just don't know how we're going to get out of this. How many people, that's not how faith talks. Faith will say, we are hard-pressed on every side. Yet. Yet. Not crushed. Not crushed. I'm still breathing. We are perplexed. I'm so confused. I just don't understand. Why? Paul didn't understand either. Totally perplexed. Totally perplexed. Don't understand why. But not in despair. Not in despair. Not getting depressed over it. You know, the Bible says anxiety in the heart of a person causes depression. You ever find yourself feeling sad and depressed? That's because you're anxious about something. You need to back up from the depression and try to figure out what am I anxious about? Because before there's depression, there's anxiety. There's worry, 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 depression, despair. Paul says, no. Now I'm perplexed. I don't understand. Why God let that happen? I'm not in despair. I'm not getting anxious about this. I'm not getting depressed over it. Persecuted. And boy, was he persecuted. Nobody likes me. Nobody treats me right. Everybody's against me. I know. It was that way for Paul too. But not forsaken. How many people know he himself has said, the Lord has said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. So if God be for us, if God is with us, why would we get anxious? It doesn't matter if the whole world's against us. God is for us. God is for us. Not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Or as one translation says, knocked down. But not knocked out. Hallelujah. Praise God. Man, faith is the heart of a champion. Faith gets in the ring. And, you know, faith doesn't get in the ring just thinking, okay, I'm going to go in there. Nobody's going to touch me. I'm going to get in the ring. I'm going to hit this guy 1, 2, 3. It's over. No fighter does that, right? I'm talking about a professional fighter. They don't get in the ring and think that they're going to get in there without some hits, without getting hit. Without maybe some bruises, right? They go in there with a mind to suffer. They go in there ready to suffer, believing that they can come out the champion. And they don't even have a guarantee of it. It's not even a guarantee that they're going to come out the champion. They might get knocked out. But yet they have enough self-confidence in them to say, I'm going to get in the ring with this bad boy who's knocked out 20 other people ahead of me, and I'm going to fight the guy. And I'm ready. And you get in the ring, and he gets hit, and he goes, come on, that's all you got, that's all you got. And that's just with a self-confidence that I can beat him. I can beat him. And he'll just keep coming, and he'll just keep coming and take a pounding and just keep coming and keep hitting and keep swinging, believing in himself that he can possibly win this. How much more you and I, with a guarantee that no matter what weapon is formed against us, we win. No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that we win, that you win. In God, you always triumph. You always win. It is a guarantee all the time. Just believe and continue to believe. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't lose your confidence in the Word. Don't lose your confidence in God. He will bring you through. And it'll all work for your good, for His glory, and the devil's demise. Can you say amen? Amen. Somebody say victory. Victory. So he says, you know, we're going through all these things. I've been knocked down a few times. I've been perplexed. I didn't know where that last punch came from. But I'm not worried about it. Because I know at the end of this thing, I know at the end of this thing, I'm the champion. I'm the winner. I'm the overcomer. I know it. I mean, I know it. I know it. I know that I'm the champion in this fight, in this battle. I know I have the victory in this fight. Whatever the fight is, I know it. I know I have the victory because God has promised it to me. He's promised it to me. And every time I go into my corner, I go into prayer, there's the Holy Spirit to remind me. There he is, just slapping water on me. There he is, wiping the sweat off me. There he is, massaging my back. There he is, telling me, you got this, punk. You got him. He's yours. Stand strong. Stand firm in what I've told you. He's going down. Just stay in there. It don't look like it, but trust me, he's going down. He's got internal problems. He's weakening. He's weakening. He's weakening on the inside. Trust me. Just go in there. Couple more rounds. Couple more rounds. You can do this thing. And so you go out there, and you stand fast in the Word of God, and suddenly, whoosh, and you didn't even throw the punch, and your enemy is under your feet, laid out, knocked out cold, and nothing but the blessing is before you. Amen. That's how it works, folks. Jesus knew that. He knew, I'm going into the battle of all battles. I'm about to experience the kingdom of darkness in full measure, in full force. Everything hell has to offer, every wicked, accursed thing that Satan has in his arsenal, I'm going to experience it. It's going to come against me. My guard is coming down, and all these weapons are going to be formed against me, even to the point of killing me. And I'll be dead for 3 days, but I'll be back. I'll be back. Praise God. I'll be back. Glory to God. That's how faith thinks. That's how faith talks. Again, notice verse 10. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. Verse 13. But since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. What are you speaking? Again, we're not afraid to talk the problem, but we don't stay with the problem. In other words, when we start a conversation, maybe talking about the facts and the things we're facing, the conversation doesn't end there. You know, you read the Psalms. You see that in many of the Psalms. You know, some of the Psalms start out where he's talking about his suffering. It's like, God, where are you? And he's crying out to God. He's laying his complaint out before the Lord. I've come many, many, many times bringing my complaints to God. But I don't just complain and leave it there. I complain, I talk to him about the problem, and just like you see in the Psalms, before the psalm is over, they're declaring his faithfulness, his goodness, his deliverance, what he has done in the past, what he will do for me now. Right? It doesn't just end with depression. It doesn't end with the complaining. But it has started with complaining. And it's the Bible. It's spirit-inspired utterance. Talking about the Word of God. Talking about the Psalms. It's talking about problems. Big-time problems. But it doesn't just end talking about the problem. Just like the Apostle Paul talked the problem, but talked another problem, but talked another problem, but didn't just leave it there. He said, but, and added what he had in the Spirit by faith. And that's how you and I are to go through this life. So here Jesus, he's having this big parade. He's doing what God does, as we see over in Romans, the 4th chapter. This is another principle here of faith. I believed, therefore I spoke. What do you believe? I believe the word. I believe the promises of God. I believe I have the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what you speak. Faith believes the word and speaks the word. See, you gotta bring the word into everything you're facing in life. Whatever kind of trial or test you're facing in life, there's scripture for it. And you got to bring the Word of God into that problem. And then you got to speak that Word of God in the face of that problem. You face a problem, you start speaking the Word. Well, you know, we're facing this, we're dealing with this, but. You know, we got this financial issue going on right now, and we're going to have to cut back on some things, and we're going to have to get a hold of this budget here. And but I'll tell you this. But, I'll tell you this. God, through Him, we always prosper. He is our prosperity. Amen. My God shall supply all our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Well, we got these symptoms here. We're dealing with these symptoms. Man, it just feels absolutely lousy. I don't know. I just woke up feeling this way. But thank God. Hallelujah. By his stripes. Woo, we are healed. Sometimes you walk up to folks and say, how you feeling? I feel good in Jesus' name. Well, you seem a little strange. Are you doing all right? I feel good in Jesus' name. By his stripes, I'm healed. Okay. I mean, that'd be pretty sad to show up at a doctor's office and talk that way, you know? And people try to do it, and they confuse the doctor, and then the doctor just think you're nuts. People go into the doctor's office, and the doctor's like, so how can I help you today? Well, by his stripes, I'm healed. The devil's under my feet, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Okay. What can I do for you? Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law. Okay. You could talk about it. You could say, I'm dealing with this. I have had these feelings. I have these symptoms. Da, 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 da. But what do you know? What do you believe? And what you believe, you therefore speak. Praise God. And what you believe is greater than what you feel and what you see. What we believe needs to be greater. See, otherwise you won't talk like it's the greater. But faith talks like God's the greater in this situation. God's greater than the devil. God's greater than the symptom. God's greater than the appearance of lack in our life. God's a unifier in the face of all this division. And if God is for us, who could be against us? So we have to magnify God, magnify what he says, magnify his promises above the problems that we are possibly facing. And we do face problems, don't we? Yes, we all face. I've had people look at me and go, well, you don't have any problems. You never have any problems. I look, I go, are you kidding me? I probably have twice the amount of problems in one day than you've had in a lifetime. Praise God forever. You think you don't have any problems? Well, you don't have any problems. No. What you're seeing is my faith. That's what you're seeing, you see, because I don't sit here and just harp on problems. But that don't mean I don't face problems. But there's some folks that think that, well, you just seem to never have problems. I mean, Paul at midnight, if you met Paul at midnight, you'd think he was in his, you know, when he was in prison. Remember, he was at midnight, he was thrown in prison. That was after being beaten. Now, if you didn't know if it was a prison, and you didn't know he had just been beaten, and you didn't know it was the darkest point in his life, if you just went by how he was acting, you would think this guy's having the greatest time in ministry anybody could possibly have, because he's in there praying and singing praises to God. In the prison, he's singing and he's in there praising God. Woo, hallelujah, glory to God. The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. I could feel him in the atmosphere. And you're just kind of walking by the prison, you're thinking, man, that guy's blessed. He's having a great life in there. Hallelujah. Because that's how faith acts. Here's Jesus having a parade. Here he's having a parade on the way to being crucified. Why in the world would you have a parade on the way to be crucified? This is the time to get out the violins and get some sympathy from folks. You're about to suffer. You need some comfort. But no, he's doing what? He's doing what we see in Romans chapter 4 says in verse 17, talking about Abraham here. It says in verse 17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. That was God's promise to Abraham. In the presence of him whom he believed, in the presence of God whom Abraham believed, even God who gives life to the dead, and watch this, and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. The things that don't seem to exist, God calls them as though they do. God talks about things that you cannot see yet as though they are. Jesus is acting like he has already triumphed and he has already won. And this is before going to the cross. This is before the battle has begun. Why? Because he's calling into being those things that do not exist yet, as though they do, as though it's already happened, as though it's already happened. You know, it's kind of like the winning team of the Super Bowl. And they go and they get their parade all set up. You know, they have these big parades for the winner of the Super Bowl. And they go ahead and they, a week before the Super Bowl, before they play the game, they go ahead and they start coming down the street celebrating their victory. Now, that'd be bizarre, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be a strange thing? I mean, if you saw the winners of the Super Bowl, but they haven't won yet, coming down the road and having their big parade. They come into the city, they get up on the loudspeaker, and they start, you know, taking turns testifying and just thanking everybody. We thank all these great fans for making this possible. And we're just so grateful. And I want to say to my mom at home, I love you. We did it. We did it. And meanwhile, nothing's been done yet. You haven't won yet. And yet that's exactly what Jesus is doing. He's going ahead and having a party now. Having a party now. Before you actually see the victory. You know, that's what faith does. Faith celebrates now. The victory it already has in God. And boy, do we have victory in God. Glory be to God. How many people know that when you die, if you're a child of God, you're going to heaven. And when you step out of your body and you enter heaven, man, there's mansions waiting for you, right? You got a big, at least one mansion, I don't know. You got a mansion waiting for you. And I mean, it's paradise. It's perfection. And we're locked in. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we've got eternal life. And when we get to heaven, we're not going to walk in depressed. We're not going to walk in and go, I can't believe I'm here. Man, oh man, I wish it's back on earth. Gee whiz. I mean, do I have to come in now? Problem is, a lot of folks on their sickbed, you know, when they get a glimpse of heaven, it's hard to pull them back because they just want to go at that point, you know. I mean, they'll fight to stay alive as much as they can here on earth. They'll fight that disease. I'm talking about in the natural. Huh? They'll just fight it. They'll just resist it. And then they get a glimpse of heaven. They're like, oh, hasta la vista, baby. And they just head on out. They just go. They just check out. You know, Kenneth Hagin, he was there with his brother. His brother was dying. And his brother, as he was dying, Brother Hagin was able to successfully pray his brother back to life a few times. I mean, his brother was leaving, and he called him back. He called his spirit back, and his spirit came back. And they thought they lost him again, and he prayed his brother back again. And then this one time, they're sitting there, and Brother Hagin's just on his knees, I believe, by his bedside. And his brother's eyes open up really wide. And he goes, Mama? Mama? And so Kenneth Hagin looks at him and says, You see Mama? You see Mama? And he goes, Jesus. His eyes closed, and that was it. Those were his last words. Brother Hagin said there was no point in trying to pray him back then. He was gone. Yeah, we'll fight with everything we have to stay here. But when once we get over there, goodbye, cruel world. Hallelujah, man. There's no turning back, no turning back. It's all celebrating. It's all excitement. Come on, we're talking about heaven. And yet Jesus promised us, he told us to pray that our days on earth will be like days of heaven on earth. That God's will for those in heaven would be done right here on earth. He wants us to have days of heaven right now. Right now. Well, how many people know we're going to heaven? How many people know when you get to heaven, you're going to be excited? Well, get excited then. Why don't you go ahead and live it now? Why don't you start enjoying it now? Why are you waiting till you get over? Jesus didn't wait until after the cross and he rose from the dead to have his party. Jesus was celebrating the victory. He was enjoying the celebration. I'm sure when he entered heaven, there was a big parade. Right? I'm sure angels, the saints of old, I mean, that had to be incredible. What would happen when Jesus entered heaven after he rose from the dead? Must have been an incredible parade. But he just went ahead and had a parade here on earth. Because to him, it was as good as done. So he might as well enjoy it now. See, this is how faith thinks. This is how faith talks. Faith is in the now. It's in the present tense. Faith is not sitting there saying someday, someday, someday. Faith says, what I have someday, I'm just going to go ahead and enjoy as though it's today. Even though it doesn't seem to exist, I'm going to talk and act as though it does exist. I'm going to call those things that be not as though they already are. Praise God, I'm going to enjoy it right now. Might as well. It's as good as done. The victory is as good as done. Heaven is as good as done. So I'm going to enjoy heaven now. In my heart, I'm going to be excited on the inside. Now, my flesh might be going through a fiery trial, but I'm going to enjoy heaven now. And really, that's another thing we see here with Jesus, because remember, he's entering Jerusalem, and here on earth. We're talking about Jerusalem here on the earth over in Israel. And yet the Jerusalem that's here on the earth is a type and shadow of the Jerusalem that is to come. Talks about that over in Galatians chapter 4, verse 26. It says, but the Jerusalem above is free. Talking about the Jerusalem above. Not talking about the Jerusalem here on the earth, but the Jerusalem of heaven. Here, there's a type of the Jerusalem in heaven, here on the earth. But he says, there's a Jerusalem that is in heaven. So when Jesus was entering the Jerusalem here on the earth, he was entering it as though he was entering the Jerusalem in heaven. He was experiencing God's will on earth as it is in, and he's enjoying it now, because faith is now. Faith doesn't just sit here and say, I'm going to heaven. Faith says, praise God, I'm going to heaven, and I have heaven now. I have it now. It's done now. I'm as good as there. I'm already there. Well, the Bible tells us over in Ephesians that we're seated in heavenly places. Did you need to see that? Let's go there. Ephesians 2, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up. Notice the past tense on that. Raised us up. Not going to raise us up. Raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, what did we just read about Abraham? Over in Romans, the 4th chapter, verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. I have made you. God said that to him before he had a child. Before he had one child. God says, I have made you a father of many nations. And then it says, that's how faith talks. It calls those things that be not as though they are. And you see it right here. And raised us up. And I have made you a father of many. I have raised you up. And made us, he's made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Have you been saved through faith? Have you been saved? Well, then you've been raised up. And you've been made to sit together in the heavenly places. Glory be to God, we're in the heavenly places right now. Somebody say, I'm seated. Man, we're like dignitaries, leaders, seated with the Lord, seated with him, like on thrones, ruling and reigning with him. That's where you are right now. Can you see yourself there?
Well, I see bills. And I see Alfred. And I see the condition of the things. That's what I see. I see a seat.
I see myself seated. Hallelujah. I'm seated at the table with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And there's an innumerable company of angels around me. Glory be to God. Like CIA agents watching over me and protecting me. And though I walk through this valley of the shadow of death, I don't fear a thing because he is with me. And I'm a ruler in this world. And I've already got the victory through anything that before any trial or test could even come, I've already got the victory over it. I don't have to worry about what's around the corner. Well, there's trials and tests coming around the corner. I can guarantee you that. Well, praise God, there's a big testimony right around that test. Can't you see that? That testimony around that test? You see that victory? See, that's what faith is thinking. That's what faith is seeing. So faith's going ahead, and it's not waiting, in other words, for the circumstances to line up before it starts celebrating the victory. A lot of people are waiting to see the money, waiting to see the things change in the natural, waiting for everything to be right in the natural before they start enjoying life, before enjoying where they are on the way to where they're going. That's not how faith acts. You're not in faith if you're just living in the walking by sight, walking by what you see, and you just react. It's sunny out today. I feel I hate rainy days. Rainy days get me down. Rainy days and Monday, they always get me down. They always get me down. Can't wait till Friday. Well, why don't you just go ahead and enjoy Sunday? Just go ahead and enjoy Sunday every day. Praise God. Let Monday be Resurrection Day. Let Tuesday be Resurrection Day. Let Wednesday be Resurrection Day. Let Thursday be Resurrection Day. Thank God it's today. Thank God it's now. Praise God right now. We are seated in Him in the heavenly places. We're not waiting for our circumstances to tell us when we can be happy. We're not waiting for our circumstances to tell us when we can be excited. We're excited because the Word of God has told us we got good cause to be excited and not worry and to live it up. Live it up like you're living in heaven. And sometimes I've done that. Sometimes I look, I say, well, how would the people in heaven, how would they react to this? You know, if the person in heaven was in this circumstance here, how would they treat that person? How do you think a person in heaven would treat a potential enemy? Oh, it's you. I didn't think you were going to get up here. Now I know I need to walk in love because we're in heaven. But I just can't figure out why God let that guy in here. Huh? I have a hard time around them, those people next door. They always got that praise music blaring. You know what I'm talking about? I just have a hard time around these kind of people. Well, would you have a hard time around them in heaven? Would you have a hard time? Are you a citizen of heaven? Are you seated in heaven already? In Christ Jesus? So why don't you just act like you're in heaven? Glad you made it. Amen. Be excited. Just be excited. Praise God forever. It doesn't matter who they are. If you're in heaven, there's no pressure. I just don't know how to act around them. Well, how would you act around them if you were in heaven? Amen. You probably run over and hug them. Man, it's good to see you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's how you would act in heaven. I'm just telling you. We're already seated there. You might as well enjoy it. Hallelujah. I think we got what we needed today. Somebody say, I always try them. Therefore, I don't worry about anything. I am already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm saved by grace. I'm a child of God. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm blessed. Coming in, going out. My God supplies all my needs. Yeah, we got needs. Praise God. My God supplies all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He gives me wisdom. He gives me strength. He shows me where to go. He shows me what to do. He navigates me through the trials of life, always leading me into victory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet. Let's celebrate. Let's praise God. Hallelujah.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.